Well, let's take our Bibles as we do. And I'll ask you to remain standing and we'll read the opening section of Scripture today too. But this is the Word of God, and I know that it is true. All right. And then let's read together. Can we get that up on the screen? Luke 2, 1 through 7. There we go. Let's read together. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Thank you. You may be seated. In these last few weeks, I think starting the last Sunday in November, we've thought about what we might expect during the Christmas season. And we considered how Zechariah and Elizabeth had their commonplace, everyday, somewhat disappointing world interrupted by the angel and then by a pregnancy, which was incredible that that should happen at their age. And then through God's word, voiced by Zechariah in his response to all that was happening, we came to see that we can expect rescue and salvation, and we can expect to serve God without fear. And so we read in Luke 1, 67 to 74, it says, his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And then we learned from young Mary, we learned that we can expect God to handle our fears. And once again, as often is the case throughout Scripture, but once again, one of the first words of the angel was, do not fear. Do not fear. God knows that we fear. We fear his appearing at times. Sometimes we fear that he won't be there for us. We fear when we don't understand. And he assures Mary, and he assures us of his favor and of his comforting, powerful presence. And then as we considered Joseph's predicament, we thought of how we can expect rejoicing rather than religion. There is joy in realizing that this is all God's initiative. This is all about what God is doing. And that he comes here, he came here for real people. He came to real people. And that it really is God that has come. And he doesn't call us to religion, but he calls us to himself and to great and growing joy. And the shepherds, as we thought about them, and you read about them right after the verses that we looked at this morning in Luke 2, the shepherds modeled for us a response to the life-changing message of Christmas. The message interrupts, it impacts, and it ultimately involves. It involves us in eternal life, and it involves us in the things that God is doing. And now today, we pick up the story where its telling often begins. Joseph and Mary on the road, pregnant as she is, on the road to Bethlehem. All of the angels and all of those spectacular things that had happened, those appearings, the angels are gone, and only the miles lie ahead. It's a hard journey. They must be worrying about Mary's condition and when the baby will come. And then when they finally arrive, all of the signs read, no vacancy. Sometimes our days, our lives, seem like that, don't they? Lots of gutting things out, doing what's got to be done, and then when you finally think that you can maybe relax for a bit, you run into another challenge, to another thing that needs to be done. And maybe some of you have felt that way even during this wonderful season, even during this great weekend. Well, today, Christmas Day, consider with me, just for a few moments this morning, consider what a wonderful gift it is to know that God has come into our world and has experienced all of the demands and the pressures and the limitations that we face, and has come into a family and was welcomed as a baby. It was about being really human, truly human. He became a human being, and his being was like our being, challenging and really wonderful. Christmas is about God becoming one of us so that we might know him, so that we might know that he knows how it is with us, and so that we might ultimately live forever in his forever family. It's a wonderful gift, an awesome life, eternal life-giving gift. Listen to this on this Christmas morning, and I've already mentioned this. Listen. For God so loved the world that he gave. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his own son. And thus we receive something incredibly wonderful from our Father in heaven. Think with me about this. It's a gift to know that Jesus came into our world where we face many demands. Being human means that we have to comply to demands and requirements of many kinds. And here in the account of Jesus' birth, there is more said about the demands that set them on the road than there is about the birth itself. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Then in parentheses, this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David, and he went there to register. Demands are being made of the entire population of the region. The Roman ruler Caesar Augustus is exercising his authority. He's calling for a census, probably related to the whole purpose and issue of taxation. And Quirinius, the governor, is administering the project. So that means that Joseph must get things together. pack the bags. Isn't it fun to pack? Isn't it awful to pack? We're learning about, I mean, look at our vehicle out there. I mean, we got to get a trailer or something to go on top or whatever. So Joseph packs the bags. What else does he need to take? What does he need to take because of Mary's unique condition? He and Mary will need to make the 90-mile trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem. It's going to take them 3 days or more. Can you imagine the physical and the emotional challenge of a journey like that? This is really, really demanding, especially with Mary being so big and so close. The circumstances surrounding the birth of Jesus are challenging for his parents and for the baby too. Think of it. When the time comes, entrance into this world means the baby, Jesus, the Son of God, must be squeezed and pushed through the birth canal. Now that's got to be hard for the little one. It's got to be hard for his mother. And I suppose maybe for dad too, in some way or other, you know, for Joseph. We cherish life, don't we? We cherish life. But the demands pressed upon us by government, by the economy, sometimes by family, by distance, sometimes the demands of education, the demands of making a living, all of this can get really heavy at times. We are really blessed. We are really blessed to live where we do in this world, and we are thankful for and we pray for our leaders, but our government makes huge demands upon us. And soon we will have to figure out our taxes once again and realize really how much it costs us to live here. And every day now, daily, we are being reminded of the opportunity and of the privilege we have to elect our leaders and to manage our government. And what a mess that is, right? What a mess and what a burden that is. As he grew, Jesus likely became acquainted with the demands of family life, of running a small business with his father. And as he began his ministry, Jesus felt the pressure of people's needs and of sickness and the heaviness of sin. Jesus quickly felt the demands and the pressure of temptation as he was hauled off into the wilderness by the devil. Do you sometimes feel that life gets a bit too demanding? Too challenging? Maybe not today. Yet for some, and we spoke about this in the last few weeks, for some, these holidays can be times of extra pressure. In any case, when we are being pressed down, sometimes feeling like we might be crushed. I read the other day about Annette Lujan, who literally was crushed by an elevator as she tried to escape when she got caught between the floors at her job at Cal State Long Beach. And I heard myself the other night saying something like, sometimes I feel like I could just burst. You know? And then we sang a little bit ago in one of the songs, ye who beneath life's crushing load. So the songwriter long ago was speaking about and penning the emotions that we feel. God has come right into the midst of our existence, and he knows about the demands and about the pressures that confront us. That is a wonderful gift. To know that he knows. Listen to Hebrews 4:15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses,
But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. As human beings, we are vulnerable to the demands and pressures of life, and we take great comfort in knowing that Jesus, our Savior, was here, and He knows what it's like. Think this morning of the Son of God lying helpless in a feeding trough. Think of how vulnerable God became. Think of how He understands what it's like to be you. Life is full of demands. Life is also full of limitations for people. And it's a gift, again, it's a gift for us to know that Jesus became human and experienced the limits of life. Part of the Christmas story that we know well speaks to the matter of limitations. After their long journey, Joseph and Mary arrive in Bethlehem only to find that there is no room, no lodging, no place for them to rest their weary bones. You'd think it was enough to have to deal with the demand of the census. And now this, Mary is ready to deliver, and there's nowhere. There's no place for them. Joseph and Mary could not buy a decent room. There was no urgent care. There was no ER. The little money and even less power that they had got them nowhere. And now time was running out, and the baby would soon arrive. And Jesus comes from the realms of glory, from expansive resources that we don't understand. And He comes from eternal time, and He enters our world of minutes and seconds of straw and feed and the smell of manure. And He's now dependent upon His parents who have such limited resources. If you feel the limits of time, if you feel like, oh man, if there could only be 30 hours in a day, or if I could only have another year or two or maybe another decade if possible. And when you feel the limits of resources and even the limits of your own energy, remember that God came into very humble circumstances. God came into very humble circumstances. Remember that Jesus knows what it is to be hungry, to get tired, to have nothing, to experience rejection. Remember that God gave His Son, and we have the incredible gift of a Savior who knows limits. Listen, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. He's been tempted just as we are, yet He did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. It's a gift to us to know that God knows and that He cares, and that we can come to Him with confidence and receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Our confidence and our joy are heightened as we see the baby boy lying in a manger. On Christmas, we are reminded that God so loved the world that He gave. And it's a gift to us to know that the Son of God came as a person, as a baby, entering our real world of demands and limitations. But we also realize this. We realize that in His coming into the world, Jesus entered the world of relationships that we so enjoy and cherish. It's a gift to know that Jesus values human relationships, and it's a greater gift still to know Jesus, to have a relationship with Him. Families are gathering these days, aren't they? Aren't you? And it's a great part of the joy of the holidays. Last night, after the Christmas Eve service, we drove over to Donna's mother's place in Kirkhoven. She was going to be alone, and we spent the evening with her. And this afternoon and for the next couple of days, we're going to be with our kids and our grandkids up in Fergus Falls. And there's 15 of us now in the family. Suddenly, we've become a clan, I guess. For God so loved the world that He sent His Son. And the baby was born, and his mommy and daddy cared for him out there in the smelly, warm, or was it cold? I don't know. Was the stable warm or was it cold? I'm not sure. But I think we can be sure it was smelly. And his mommy and daddy cared for him out there. Most people agree, and I would guess that you do, that family is what makes life rich, fun, precious. It makes life. We want to thank you for praying for us as we traveled up to Duluth to be with our son and with his family as he had some surgery last Monday. You know, one of the really hard parts of that whole deal was hanging out with Maggie. yeah. Isn't she awesome? but I know she has competition, right? But that was just a precious time. And in a few hours, we'll see her and her six cousins this afternoon. We pray for our family members because they're so precious to us. You look down through the bulletin and look at our prayer requests, and we spend a lot of time and have a lot of concern about the needs of our family. And we spend time together when we can. You know, I just think of the songs of Christmas, and one of the tender songs of Christmas coming out of wartime, I believe, Second World War maybe, "I'll Be Home for Christmas." And my goodness, think of what we've just concluded, the conflict in Iraq, and maybe there's some of those people that are singing, "I am home for Christmas," you know. We thank our Father in heaven that He sent His Son into the world in order that we might become children of God and spend eternity in His forever family. It is a gift for sure. So, when someone offers a gift, when God offers a gift, what do we do? We receive and we say thank you. We receive Him. We receive His forgiveness and His salvation. We receive His help and His understanding and His provision every day along the way. It's a good gift. It's a good gift. God's Son entering our real world, our lives filled with demands and limitations and precious relationships. And I want to give you a gift. I want to give you a gift this morning to help you remember how Jesus came here. And so as you leave this morning, I'd like you to pick up at least one per family. If not, and maybe, I think the box we got has like 60 in there. Pick up one of these. It's an infant diaper. Maybe it'll help you remember how God came into the world, that He really came as a real baby. And as I thought about doing this, I thought about, well, what are people going to do with these, you know? And, you know, there's a lot you can do with this. It could be a doily. It could be a sun catcher or a sun blocker, you know. Maybe if you're driving, you need to tape something to the window. It could be a sun blocker. It could be a cup coaster, you know. It could be a cup coaster. It could be a candy dish. You know, put it on a coffee table or put it on the television, you know, put some candy in there. It could be a candy dish. It could be a change cup, right? You could put loose. you could put loose. It could be a Q-tip holder in the bathroom. You know, you could do that. It could be a spill picker-upper. It could be a. Donna said it could be a mini pillow. You know, I suppose it could be a mini pillow too. You know, think about this. If you're struggling, and you know you're really feeling pressed down, and things are really getting heavy, take a little trip over to the candy dish and get a piece of candy and be reminded of how God Almighty came into this world. Be reminded of that. Well, Grandma Donna is in the back, and she's got a whole box of these, and I hope that you'll take at least one for a family, and if some of the, I think there's more than that, so you can take a couple if you want. Be reminded, will you, of what this is all about. Let's pray. God in heaven, thank you that you so loved the world. Us, each of us, people all around us, the world, that you sent your Son, Jesus, that you came here for us and for the world. And may we remember when times are heavy and pressing us down, may we remember as we think about the challenges and opportunities before us to share your love for the world. But may we be encouraged today. May we find ourselves rejoicing in you and in your greatness and your goodness. We thank you. We praise you. We honor you. We love you. We thank you that we can say this and feel this and know this on this Christmas day. In Jesus' name, amen.